Okay, we're doing Tafan Alpalachai. Kalim, Shenishtam Shem Bacham. Kalim that use them for hat, so they need to be kashered. So the din is Kafi Tashmish and Hashem, the way they were used, that's how you kasher them. Im Tashmish and Makrivishan, if you use them with the Klivishan, Kalim Kavshim, Magisim, Bakadera, Tzarech Hashim, Makrivishan. The Im Tashmish and Makrivishan, if you only use it as a Klivishani, Hashem, Makrivishani, and Uklisim Shamsh might be Iruri, Shalam Klivishan. What happens if you're in between the Klivishan and the Klishani, you're just Iruri Klivishan, then Lesagle Behakshu the Klishani, you can't, it's not considered Klishani, it's a little higher, I'll turn off Laris, all the Klivishan, you have to have a goal from a Klivishan, just like you had a Blee of Iruri Klivishan, you also have to have a goal of Klivishan. Let me just read the Ramah. Call a Kalim Shayishbem Stukun Akuma Sechaluda Vuhu Sechakli. And you can't clean out the dirt or the rust or things like that, then Ein Hagilan, the Tzrich Lib Makam Hastak, you have to leave it to get rid of the band. Okay, so we talked about this separately, it's not really part of this then. Okay, so what's the main part of it then? What does the Machaber say? He says a rule that we call Kabbalah Kach Potay, which is as follows. In the Psukim, based on Psukim, the Mishnah say, if you have a kli that was used directly on the fire, then you do leave one. If you have a kli that was used with a hot liquid or something like that, then you do hagala. That comes from sukkim. That's the Torah's kabbalah kafalta. That's as much as it says like that. The Rishonim, I believe it's a riff who says it first. The Rishonim say that you should know within the din of hagala there's also kabbalah kafalta. Just like for the. Whether you should try to leave it or Hagol, you do Kabbalah Kach Potay. Within Hagol itself, you do Kabbalah Kach Potay. And that's this thing. If the Gli was in the Klivishan, you do Hagol and Klivishan. If the Gli was in the Klisheni, they do the Hagol and Klisheni. That does not say in Torah, and I don't believe it's in the Gemara either, that you could have levels of Hagol within Hagol. But that's the riff says that you could do that. This rule, within the rules of Hagol, this Klivishan and Klisheni and things like that. The Gemara does say something else. The Gemara talks about what we call milu v'iuri, which is not for our din, and that the Gemara sort of talks about milu v'iuri, and that is not from a pasuk, and that's understood to be kabbalah kach potay also. So if you want to see a Gemara that says like that, okay. So there's a, but this thing over here is a riff. Then in more modern times, in the case, I don't know, 50 years, modern day places have taken this riff another step further, and they said is not only do akul b'machal between the klirishan and the klisheni and the iuri, but also we can machaz within a temperature. That if a thing is used only at 160 degrees, then you can kasher it at 160 degrees also. They said also that's Kabbalah Kach Potay. Just like Kabbalah Kach Potay says a klisheni is different than a klirishan, also they said that you could say that within a level of hagol, let's say a klirishan, you can be machaz between one temperature and another temperature, say like that. Okay, so that's an extension of the riff, which is an extension of the Mishnah. So but it's worth noting for all of these things that the Daki Moshe says and the Prima Gadin says and the Moshe says that kind of make you feel more modern also, that even though there are all kinds of rules like this that you say Kabbalah Kach Potay, that you could do that within the levels of Hagolah and the temperature of Hagolah you could be Mechal between different kinds of Kalim, the minute is to do all Hagolah in a Klivishan that's on the fire at Rosh Chodesh. That's the minute is to always do the top level of Hagolah, no matter what the case is. Okay, so that's to say, the din is that you
can. That's
what you said. Yeah, he has to say for temperatures. Of course, for him that wasn't such a thing. That they cooked at 160 and they captured 160.
What meaning does that have coming out of the documentation?
Sure.
In other words, if he was not. There was no discussion of doing it at temperature, so of course you guys were not
pulling. No, because he's talking about, like, in our case, that the riff is saying that you could do it for klirishan or klisheni. If the blue was only in klisheni, you could do hagol and klisheni. Hagol was even klirishan, you could do kashya, even klirishan. But the minute is to always do it at klirishan, that is first. That's the minute is to always do the full level of kashya. So he's saying in his context.
So his bigger point is that it should be klirishan. That's right, and it was pushing.
Right. Well, no, because Iru is also not Roiskan al Gabi Eish. The thing is always to do Iru with the Klivishan al Gabi Eish, with Roiskan to do the full Hagol, the full max Hagol, which is, that is a max. That's a basis. There's a maximum of Hagol and Roiskan. So this is like the top. So the minute is always to do the maximum. Okay, so now, but it's only a minute. It's not the din. That's the minute. So that means is that in a normal situation, if a person trying to kasher, they don't say, oh, the bliya was that with irus, I can kasher with irus. They should say, no, the bliya was with hot, and therefore I should kasher with hakol and kli rishon. Okay, but you say, I have a countertop. Well, I can't stick my countertop into a kli rishon agave eish. No such thing. You can't physically pull it off. Okay, good. So then you can't do it. So then you go with ikra hadin. But if you can do it, then you're supposed to do Hagol, the Klevishin, Agave Ish, the full 9 yards, the whole thing. Okay, so now, let me do some simple examples. First, we'll move on a little bit. Get the simple examples of these kind of differences between like Klevishin and Iri and things like that. I mentioned a counter. It's going to be a counter and a table are going to be halacha later. I'm going to leave that for them. Okay, counters and tables that they have blue like they eat, not right on the fire, of course. There it also has a question of a double gush. That's a different halacha later. And the simple example that we have is a sink and a faucet. And if you think about it, no, you can't. A sink is not a cleavishin, but a sink has irui cleavishin. A person, let's think for chametz. A person takes their pot of pasta. And after they cook it up, they pour the water into the sink. Okay, so they're doing iru klevishin, have a bliya of chametz from right through iru klevishin onto the sink, and that's why you kasher your sink with iru klevishin. But if you think about it, also there's the faucet. I don't know what you call the thing. I think the place where the water comes out of, the spout. Okay, whatever it is, the part that reaches over the sink could theoretically have iru klevishin. It also has a different bliya. When you pour the
which part of the thing have you? The faucet itself? No.
The place the water comes out. I don't know what you call that part. The part when the not the knobs.
The spout.
That part.
Spout is
the other? Depending on how sloppy you or your kids are, it may have ewery. Or it might not have ewery.
Definitely a lot of ewery.
What?
It's definitely a lot of ewery.
I think
splash from a
clear region
onto it, right?
From a clear region onto the sink?
Onto the spout?
Onto the spout.
Yeah, over a whole year, you pour a thing of some of the water from the past and over directly in the thing.
Well, but if it goes directly, right? If it's from the pot, it would have to go directly.
Oh, yeah, definitely would.
Yes, correct. And another side of it is the then the strata is the double crucial. So when after the pasta gets plopped into your sink, into the strainer, into the colander that's in your sink, then Zaya comes up from that. Okay, that Zaya from a double kush is a little more sophisticated. Right? That's hitting the sink from the underside from the Zaya from a double kush. So that has right. So that also needs the sink. Right. It'll need some kind of a kashrut for that also. So that's like our regular everyday examples of iruis and things like that are not regular cleavishin. You know your sink is not a cleavishin. No one ever cooked up something like
that.
Okay, so you said it's a true, we could look it up. Fine. Okay, now, another example, a very a real modern day example of things like this is a microwave. Okay, that we're gonna when you when you cook something in a microwave, the bliya is not done in the traditional way that you cook up a pot of water, like the way we do usually, the traditional pot of water on a fire. It's done in a different way. And there's shilas about the kashering that people the way that people usually kasher their microwave is. They say exactly the mamash comes right out of it, they do kabbalah kachota. They say, how do the bliyas come into my microwave? Things spill over or they comes out of the pot and out of the food that's cooked in there hits the chamber of the microwave. So the kasher like that, they say, I'll boil up water in a cup in the microwave and I'll let it spill all over the place and I'll let the zeya cover the whole chamber of the thing and I'll be doing a kabbalah kapot. That's the general idea of what they're trying to do. They're trying to recreate the same way the bliya went in, which is what the din says. You say, okay, the bliya sinks spill. I do it by spilling. Think Zaya spreads all over the whole chamber, and I can.
It has to spill over the cup?
well, you have to catch the floor. This thing still, during use, things spill over.
You just did the glass things. You just take the thing that's been out.
Right, so you can just remove the glass and put in a new one. We'll put in a piece, a plate, some paper, or something like that. But you, but that's how things
we'll
do
put
still.
Like
we'll put that in, well, okay. And the rest of it, it has its glass through there. So it's a cloud that just, you know, forms, the thing that spins. So I'm boiling up my cup of water. I'm recreating that. I'm doing the same thing. If I do it for long enough, that it covers the whole thing. Okay. Microwave has a separate problem, which again we're not going to do now. Again, Mr. Shem later, by the end of a calendar, which is that the microwave.
What is a calendar?
A calendar is a thing that you.
An initial word, by the way. Not a calendar, useful as a.
It's a sieve that you put in pasta into to drain the water out of it. You pour the pasta into.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, so it's a. We will get to which is the, a strainer. It's a separate problem we have for a microwave is that the microwave has many nooks and crannies, and in particular, it has a grate on the side where to protect it, where the rays and the light come out of. There's a grate on the side, and the thing is, you're not supposed to catch things with tiny holes in it. Okay, so we'll see when we get there. Maybe Rabbi Schwartz had a reason why you should maybe be allowed to, but you're not allowed to catch things with little holes and the things that are very difficult to clean. And a microwave is a great example of that because it's hard to get into, like we just saw in the Rambam, it's hard to stick your head into it and get the whole thing clean. And particular things with holes, even if you try to clean the bin, you're not allowed to, you know.
Particular matter that gets in those holes.
And you must have a very neat home, because in most houses, that stuff is an absolute place, is an absolute mess. The inside of my microwave, or maybe use your microwave always covered. Do you use your microwave always covered?
Wait, the food always covered?
Yeah. Okay. If you use most people's microwaves, well, if you look into a microwave, it's dirty.
Yeah, it's dirty. Those holes, they're high up. I'm not on the floor. They're higher up than the microwave. So you can put it in there.
Not in, because it's just stuck into the holes. Just as flat as any place. So, okay. So maybe your house is very neat. Okay, we'll get there. We're not saying it. We're not saying it. Okay, now. Well, now I'm going to move to another case. This is an industrial case. Okay? You have what Tosa says. Here's a question. He says, what's the difference between a cleavation and a cliche? We were just talking about this the other day. What's the difference between a cleavation and a cliche? If they both have the same temperature, why does one have these kind of layers and one has these kind of layers? What's the difference?
Why don't people take the temperature?
Right, or say if it's rice, then it's rice. Yeah. Why are we being differentiated between cleavation and cliche?
You know, you say that's how the cleavation, right?
Possibly. I mean, or even a cleavation, we say as soon as it pours into the next cleave, it's the first thing it hits is called eruy, and then when it starts to spread around, that's called cliche need. Let's go on, it's all the same temperature. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. So that's the Tyson's question. And Tyson's
where is this?
In Shabbos. About Mem, Memal, something like that. Okay? I can find you exactly where I'm going if you want. And Tyson says, that the difference is like this. In a clear region, the walls are helping in heating the product. The walls are hot, the walls get hot before the water does. The walls are helping in the heating. In a klisheni, the defanus, his words are defanus on makaras, the walls are cold, so the walls are cooling off. So the water, the product is in there might be the same temperature, but is the product getting hotter or is it getting colder? In a klishen, the walls help in making it hotter. And in a klisheni, it's on its way down, it's cooling off, and therefore it has different properties. What it could do is different. So therefore when we say a klisheni can't do as much as a klishen, it's because klishen is boiling hot and it's stable or it's getting hotter. And the cliche is cooling and therefore it's not able to do the same things. Okay? Not that I can say I fully understand what he said, but at least he's giving a structure which like, understands what the answer is.
Like, not like that.
Well,
you can never take a cleavation and it's off the fire, turn off the fire, and it will elevate the heat.
No, I didn't say, I don't mean to have it making it hotter, but it stays
the heat. It doesn't oppose it.
Right, it doesn't go against it. There's in the cliche.
Gradually it's going to go down.
In the cliche, the walls are working against the water. Okay. Right. So whatever, that's what Tosfos, how he sets it up. So now, what happens if you have a cliche, but the cliche doesn't have the finest makaros? What happens if we take away the walls cooling it down? What is the example?
Again, Shabbos.
What?
You the cup refusing to you know, the cliche, right? You want to transfer?
Yes.
Thing like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Correct. Correct. But the ladle. A ladle. If you use a ladle, so the shaila is that that's correct. That's what Todd talks about over there. That a bowl of soup on Shabbos might be considered cliche. Not a cliche. You wouldn't say that it's lost being a cliche because the ladle might be considered a cliche also. Because the ladle keeps getting hot. You dunk the ladle in again and again and again. It gets hotter. It's not the finest macaros. That's kind of a case. But we have a simpler kind of a case, which is if you put food, take. something from Kli Rishon and you pour it through Kli Sheni for 5 hours in a row. I mean, you keep filling product, and the fillers, and the example of it, a filler, you keep pouring stuff through it, hot product through at 180 degrees for hours and hours. The walls of the filler are not going to be cold anymore. There might be, in theory, cliche, but those walls are not Makaris anymore. The walls, after how much time, the walls are going to be just as hot as the product is. You keep putting more and more, it's not the same product, it's not like you put in a bowl of soup. You keep pouring more and more bowls of soup on this thing, so it gets to the point that it's not the product of Makaris. So if we take what Tyson says, that the rule is, a cliche is defined as being something that has the finest Makaris, if we take that away from the cliche, we say this cliche is not, it doesn't have the finest Makaris, then guess what? It becomes a cliche. So that means that if a person wants to kasha that piece of equipment, so look, we would have to say now, L'chumra to say, the Bliya happened as a Kli Rishon. Or, at least say, the Bliya happened without the Fanas Makaris. So the Hagola has to recreate that. And the Hagola has to also be without the Fanas Makaris. So if it took, let's say it took 15 minutes, I'm making up a number, it took 15 minutes to get to the point that the Fanas were not Makaris, we'll have to do Hagola for 15 minutes, keep running water for 15 minutes to make it that it's not the Fanas Makaris anymore. Okay, so if in particular, in fillers, there are fillers, it's called a piston filler, but it's not important what it is, but the fillers, the heads of the filler are, this is like the size of what it would be, made out of solid stainless steel. Okay, it's a huge piece, and they could be taller also, okay, it could be size like this soda can, pop can, it could be this size, and made out of solid stainless steel. If you dunk this into boiling water for 2 seconds, or in some cases they have a hole through, you let the water run through it for 5 seconds, or for 2 minutes, it's not going to get hot. The horizon, I touch them and they don't get hot. After you run, you do, the guys have done what they call the Hagola. They pour the water onto it for a few minutes, they shoot it with a steam hose, or they run water through, and you touch it, and it's cold. Okay? Because the thing is so thick that it just doesn't get the heat up. But we know that during production, they ran something hot through there for so long that, of course, it got hot. And I didn't touch it during production. But come on, the thing is, it's thick, but only to a point. So the Hagola then has to mimic what the kashrut was. Okay? Just like, in other words, you don't even have to be so fancy as to say what Tyson says, but that's what we're going to use Tyson. Tyson says that the finest Makaris, if there would be no finest Makaris, it would turn back into a Kli Rishon. So L'chumra, we have to say that also, that the Bliya was like that, so we have to touch or the Kli Rishon. Okay?
Who's the first person who says this?
Okay, so who's the first person who says this? The Tav. Okay? The Tav says, what? But yes, but he's not talking. I'm not talking about
the top.
He needs for a longer time. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, he doesn't say. Not, I'm not talking about Indian Hilchos Shabbos. He says Indian. Yeah, Indian. I believe he says Indian Kashrut. I'm not sure. Okay.
No, in
your day, yes.
Yeah, but different. When the cup goes into the tradition.
Okay. So what's the difference?
Well, it becomes part of it.
I'm not talking about the case where it sat there for so long. If it sits there for so long that the water boils again, okay, that the water comes back to a boil while it's in there, so then it's much more like a cremation in that case. I'm telling you, even if you just put it in enough times, not that it comes back to a boil, but just being in this case submerged in completely in the water, it just stops being cold.
Does he say this word? This has been many times in the front of the car anyway.
There's another Taz, which is not what I'm talking about, who says that if you do Eruv a lot of times, then 100 Eruvs is equal to 1 Kli Rishon. He does use those numbers. Many Eruvs is like, I'm not talking about because it's many Eruvs. Most people do not go like that Taz. Not because it's many Eruvs, but the Eruv is continuous. You do it for so long, you lose the front of the car. You bring the
Taz. This
idea is Taz. It's Taz. Who brings it? Who says? The
one long Eruv,
if the Eruv goes for so long that you lose the Tefanis Makaris, then you bounce yourself back to the inclusion. Yeah. Now, Taz says, but I'm about to go to the next step, which is, the Taz says, but I'm only going to say this, L'chumra. Okay? In other words, if the Bliya happened like that, then the Hagola has to have one of that also. Okay? The question is like this. Our question, the question we have is the following. This swara to say that you get rid of the tefanis makaris makes into a Kli Rishon has a tzadkut to it also. What happens if you have a Kli that had a Bli as a Kli Rishon? Okay. Let's say you had a spray dryer. Right. That's a good example of it. I was about to say a spray dryer. It had a Bli as a Kli Rishon. Come on, the thing was on fire. And you want to kosher it with a spray bomb. Okay? Now, there's no fire in the spray dryer. So when you if you just cast just with the spray bowl, what are you doing? You're doing eerie. You pour water from a pot of boiling water onto the spray jar. Then how are you casting? It needs to be cast as a cleavishin. So you say, wait a second. So you don't think Rabbi Belsky says, what you do is like this. If you run it the water for long enough to the point that the metal of the spray dryer stops being defined as makaris, it gets to the point that the metal itself is as hot as the kashrut water is, then you turn it back into cleavishin. So just like the bleed happened in one kind of cleavishin, and you clash it with a different kind of cleavishin, you create the cleavishin. Okay? That's one of the examples. And I'll give you some more examples in a second. So
we have to run it for a long time.
You have to run it for a long time. Wait a second.
Well, yeah. Preheating the spray dryer.
No, can you hold the preheating for a second?
We already found out that.
Right, guys.
Right, preheating. It's running for a long time.
If you just run it for a long time. So he says, if you run it for a long time, you will get, there won't be the defined as Makaris, and then you will be turned back into a cleavishin. So now, and I'm going to give you some more examples in a second. So that is saying that not only can you do it, should you do it l'chumro, that's saying that eerie for a long time becomes a cleavishin, but you think l'chumro, that eerie for a long time can make a cleavishin, and that I can use that to kasher as if it was a cleavishin. Okay, I have some other examples. Look, it's in loads of dryers, things like that. What happens to a truck, okay, a tanker truck that has a heating coil to it? It's like a cleavishin. It's got a heating source on the bottom of it. Okay? In many times, it has a heating source on the bottom of it. Okay, you put on the heating source, so you keep the stuff hot the whole trip, and then you come to a kasher and you kasher with a spray bowl. Okay, you don't put some of the heat over there when they do that. What happens if you have three tanks in a row that have to be kashered? They're all jacketed kettles that have to be kashered. What do you do? You say, what? I need to boil up three tanks full of water. I'll boil up the first one, and then I'll transfer the water from here to there to there. Okay, so then, at best, what I'm doing is I'm transferring from here to there to there, and I am saying this boiling water will go to the next tank, which it was belayed as a cleavishin, but I will make it to not be defined as makaris. That's at best. Okay, really, in that case, you have an easy answer. In that case, what you'll do is you'll leave this jacket on. You don't have to boil the water, you just put the jacket on so that there is steam flowing through it. It's like back to being cleavishin. Okay, but let's say in the truck, let's say in a heater, in a dryer. Or there's another case, and this is a fancier case, which is the Shach says that the Dava Charif in a Klisheni has the din of being in a Klivishin. Okay? Even though usually Klisheni is not the same as Klivishin, when Indian B'dievet, that B'dievet we say there are no Klis in Klisheni, if someone made a mistake, but the Shach says, but that's not true for Dava Charif. Dava Charif that's in a Klisheni has the din of being in a Klivishin. So, here we have, an example of that is, I filled vinegar, in theory, vinegar does not have to be pasteurized, it doesn't spoil, it doesn't need to be pasteurized, but lots of companies do pasteurize it because it makes it not as cloudy, they get some of the cloudiness out of it, and it makes it look better. So a lot of people pasteurize vinegar before, not because they need to, it just happens to be, it makes it look better. So that person pasteurized the vinegar, and they run it through the filler, and it fills hot. So that filler used had a double harf going through a klisheni. Let's say it's called a klisheni. But the din is, that's considered like a klivishin. Even though it was only klisheni, in din, we look at it like the bleed was in a klivishin. Okay, so for all these things, so Rodolfsky says, look, what's the problem? We got rid of the defilement of the karos, and we could be, so now we made it to a klivishin. Okay, so the problem is like this. The Taz says that you can do the Hagolah, this case that I told you, if you take a ladle out of a pot and you put it in enough times that it becomes no more defined as Makaris, then L'chumra you have to kasher as a cleavishin. They say L'kula. The Prima Gadam on there says that you could do it L'kula, but you can't do it L'chumra. I'm sorry, you could do it L'chumra, but you can't do it L'kula. It means you can't take the ladle out of the pot and then stick a fork into the ladle and kasher your fork in that ladle. Because that would be calling it a cleavishin, well, kula, to treat this as a cleavishin. He says, you can't do that. The Prima Gadam says, you can't do that. And he says, the Prima Gadam's reason is, he says, something, a kli that's heated with water, is not the same as a kli that's heated with fire. Here, you have your fork, got a blia, on the fire. Let's say a spoon. You stir the pot on the fire. Now you can, so you got a bleed through something that was heated directly by a fire, by a fire type of heat. And now you're having a bleed that's happening through the water heat. The heat that came to the ladle came through the water, not through the fire itself. It had like the in between to get like that.
And then if you let the ladle stay in the pot until it was boiling, the water in the ladle was boiling, it still wouldn't be
so. That I don't remember, because then the fire mamish went straight to Tikkun. I don't remember how it is.
So back to spirit.
Okay, wait. Right? Yeah. Then there's another thing. The Chavetz Chaim says that Prim Gadol might be based on the thing that says that he's not allowed to use for Hakola Chamit Tferger. Okay? If you have water that's heated by naturally hot springs, you're not allowed to use them for Hakola because we say heat of water through fire is not the same as heat of water through hot lava or whatever heats up Chamit Tferger. Okay? That's the thing that it has to be heated through the same type of a source. And that's seemingly where it comes up. Okay. Heated by water, that same as heated by fire. So what kind of thing is that? I'm saying to you that twice is in commentary. So we have to see exactly what the case is. But I have a different example. This is someone at this conference, the Vibe conference. This is what happens if the Hagola was through regular water and you want to kasha through water heated in the microwave. Should we treat that as chametz ferger? Because the water wasn't heated through the traditional, you know, fire. An electric coil might is probably just heating in fire. That's just a different form of fire. Okay, Yesh wasn't known, I don't know. If we remember, we get the commentary. So it's one of the last things. Okay. Now, then there's another thing. The Chavetz Chaim brings the Minchas Yaakov, which I did not see, I'm sorry. The Minchas Yaakov says that the reason why you can't do it with kula is because when Tosfos says that you have Devanus Makaris, he doesn't mean that these things are cooling. He means is even if the walls of the clay are neutral, that's also not enough to make you consider Hagol. In order to be considered a cleavishin, it's gotta be that the walls of the clay are positively adding to the heat. Something that's neutral doesn't count. Something that's neutral is not considered a cleavishin. Okay, and there are three types. The walls can make it hotter, the walls can make it cooler, and the walls can be neutral, they could do nothing. So the Mishnah Yaakov is supposed to say, to be a Klirishin, you have to have the highest level, that the walls are making it hotter. But if the walls are neutral, or the walls are making it cooler, that's the case that Tosfos means it's not considered a Klirishin. So in our case, the walls over here might be not making it cooler, but they're not making it hotter, they're in between. They're neutral, they're not adding or taking away, they're the same temperature.
How is a clay region making it hotter?
Because in a clay region, the wall, when you put the pot on the fire, the metal gets very hot, and then that heat is pushing into the water. Even if you turn off the fire, the metal is still very hot, and it still could keep giving heat into the water. Mm-hmm. That's how we go. As opposed to the cliche, the walls only are as hot as the water made them, they're not hotter than the water to be able to enter. Okay? So, here's a whole bunch of poskim who are saying, yes, there's merit to this idea. There's such a thing that even for a very long time should be considered like a cremation. But they're all saying not to do it with kula. Okay? And there are cases when people want to use this with kula. So I asked the survey. Who says,
you know who would use the sacrum, huh?
Yes, it's the same person who wrote the Chok Yaakov on Ar Chaim. At what?
I don't know.
Okay, it's a early Achron. Okay, he wrote a Pirush. His Minchas Yaakov Pirush is the Ramo wrote a Sefer called Taras Chatas, which is Isser Behet the Sefer. And the most famous Pirush one is called Minchas Yaakov. Most Taras Chatas has come with the Minchas Yaakov on the bottom. That's an early Achron. So I asked the Sardowski, this goes back many years. And he said like this. He holds that all of these people is cases are different than his case. Because in all of those cases, the heat that made the walls not be Tepanis Makaros is now not connected to the clay. Let's take the case of a ladle. I stuck the ladle into the water and it sat there for a while that the ladle became hot. Then what did I do? I took the ladle out of the pot, and now I'm trying to catch something inside of it. So the ladle got heated by the water in the pot, and it's not connected to the pot anymore. So now the ladle, to an extent, could revert back to being cliché. The ladle lost its connection. The whole thing that made it hot was that water, and now it's not in that water anymore. So just being defined, just losing the defined makaris, but not being connected to the water doesn't count. In our case, when we spring water continuously, the thing that's making it not be defined as makaris is still here. It keeps on pumping in heat into the thing. So let's say the Milchus Yaakov said, you can only cool something, not defined as makaris, when it's giving more heat. But if it's neutral, you can't do it. Here it's not neutral. Here it's giving more heat, because here you keep pumping in more water. Here the walls the walls are not cooling. They haven't lost their connection to the heat source. They're still connected to the thing that's making them not be the finest makaris.
That's true.
What do you mean?
You start pouring in water, right? So to heat up, this is pre-clashing. This is first heating up. Okay. They said, now the next water, that's going to be clashing.
Okay.
Okay. So where is the connection? This is the sun, right? To the heat. What are you talking about?
You think because if we call this the kashering water, then it's not the finest makaris water.
Yeah, it's not the important water. Important water. Important more water. No fresh water. Fresh hot water. Fresh hot water. Not connected to the heat. It's just
okay.
The kashering water. Right. The moment you call it, this is the kashering water. So there's the kashering water. It's not the heat.
Okay.
Coming in.
It's the same water. Keeps going around and around.
Right, but it
will be somehow some leads to that.
The spray dryer that I go to, the spray will send it throughout the spray dryer, and it's caught like a big dumpster, like a steel dumpster, and it's in there right back there every single time. But he's saying, Rebelski, his main point is that all the cases where there's no more defined as Makaris is it's lost its connection to being. Whatever made it not the finest Makaris is not here anymore.
Okay, so the
wall.
What's the kitchen? There's a stove there with the wall. The connected to this. It's still there. The stove is.
Let's say I take my sink, my kitchen sink, and I pour boiling water from a pot into the sink. And I keep on pouring boiling water.
Yeah.
So the you say that the finest will not be Makaris. But if I pour, let's say I fill up the whole sink with water, and now the walls are burning hot. But what's. That heat is not connected to a fire. That heat is separated now from the real thing that gave heat. All that's left over is like a residual heat, and that's not as great as a klimish. Okay? Maybe I'm having a hard time explaining because I think the question is stronger than the answer. But he tried to give an answer that their cases are all it's lost the connection to its original heat source. Okay? But in this case, in our case, when we do the kashering, we're still connected to the heat source. The water coming out of the spray bowl is connected somewhere back to the fire, to the boiler, whatever it is, and it's heating. So there's still a connection, and that's a stronger case. What the reason why I say that the question may be stronger than the answer is because it's not like we answer the question that maybe you could say like this, and you could say maybe you could say like that. All the people who are talking about it are talking about really about his case. They're bringing up, should we say places to swallow the cooler? And they're all saying, no, we're not going to say Tyson's for the cooler. So we're now saying, he's giving an answer to say, yeah, we can say Tyson's for the cooler. Okay, it's a question. I want to just go back to what Don said before, which is, by a spray dryer, there is a myelin. In a spray dryer, at least, where you can preheat it, okay, which is common, most people usually preheat it. So then, by putting on the fire and preheating it, we've at least created to a cremation that's not a garbage age. And we've done things, let's say, for example, the Michael Zachary said, it has to be able to be that the walls are so hot that they add heat. Well, we've done that. The walls are to that point. We didn't just make it not
the No,
it's not Kabbalah Kapod, because during production, the fire is on.
The fire was on.
It was on, but not during casting. During production, the fire is on, but during Hagol, the fire is not on anymore. You turn it off before you stop catching. But at least we made it into a Kli Mishan Agave Eish, and now it's Kli Mishan Shalei Agave Eish. We did something, we get a lot closer. But if you go to other dryers where they don't even have a preheating, or you don't preheat it, or a lot of other cases, you take your truck.
Why, you can't preheat it? Other
I guess you could. I'm saying, but that's not what people usually do. They just nothing. They put up. They have this spray bowl. They have their thing for cleaning. They clean it. Kasha. They you know. So we don't even have that to say. In order to do it, you have to really be sort of complete on this thing. I have to just tell you, Rabbi Shachter, when he heard this, this is very much his way to answer questions. He said, look,
how
he
long
said,
ago was this posed?
A couple of years ago. Yeah. It's a couple of years ago. He said, Rabbi Shechter said, well, if the Kalem are in the Yerman and the Gersh company is not so good anyhow, okay, good. Because for cases like that, I'll be some of Harav Belsky. He says, well, usually also in most cases the Bli only happen like that. It's like a filler. The Bli was extended Eris, so you thought, oh, an extended Eris. Then it makes sense. Or cases of David Binyamah, all kinds of, you know, special kind of cases. Okay, so then one could be Samachana. He said, his Rebbe, Rebbe Salavich, told him this thing, the same Svara, Lechumra, that you could do it for Kashrut. He was apprehensive about saying it Lekula. To say it Lekula in cases where it's Mamash Lekula, where you're just doing it, Kashrut as a Binyamah, and you're ready to go, and the whole thing is hanging on this Svara. He wasn't so excited about it.